Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled.
From the studio gym where excuses never apply,
it's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Well, we're going to flip the script on you today. Seriously. You're going to hear a discussion that you're not going to hear anywhere else. Maybe 5 or 6 months from now, maybe a year from now, this type of dialogue that we're going to have today about mask wearing and CO2 will get out. I doubt that it will. Small groups of intelligent people will pass this on. But the throngs of sheeple out there won't get this at all, especially not from shows like Dr. Oz or any place like that. You know, you do this 20 times a minute at rest, 28,000 times plus a day, and you never think about it. But we've been thinking about it a lot since COVID-19 and everybody's wearing masks. We're thinking about our breathing for the first time. Most people never think about it. And what's on everybody's mind right now is CO2. And we're going to discuss whether or not wearing a mask is really harmful. Or is it possible? Is it possible that it's actually doing something good for you? We're going to get to the bottom of that with Anders Olsen, who is an expert in breathing. I met him at one of the Quest think tanks. The guy is brilliant. I'll tell you a funny story about him. I was on a phone. I'll wait for him to be on the air. And he could tell exactly what was going on just by watching my breathing. It was fascinating. No one else in the room knew. But Anders came over to me after the phone call and said, this, and that, right? And I said, yeah. He goes, yeah, I was watching you breathe. Before we do that, we have to thank our title sponsor, and that is Legendary Foods. Legendary Foods has the most amazing snacks that you've ever had. Their tasty pastry is basically a Pop-Tart that has been made healthier, and they do that by removing all the sugar, and it has less than 1 gram of sugar, and then putting in a bunch of really good protein, 9 grams of high leucine protein, and it tastes great. You won't know you're eating something that's good for you. If you're a low-carb keto lifestyle, you have to go over to eatlegendary.com. Use the coupon code SHR, save 10% off everything, everything. Their seasoned nuts, their flavored almond butters and nut butters, cashew butters. I mean, this stuff is amazing. It's worth your time, it's worth your money, and it's worth you eating. So check that out, of course. And now, without further delay, I'm going to turn that off and bring on my guest, Anders Olsen. How you doing, Anders?
I'm doing really great. Thank you.
And now, I met you at Quest. I got to put some images up here. I met you at Quest, and you were there specifically to talk about breathing. And your whole mission is to get people to start thinking consciously about their breathing. So most people would say, but breathing is, it's autonomic, it's automatic. We don't have to think about it. But that was true before modern times, wasn't it?
Yeah, probably. And you mentioned it, right, when you were on the phone, that I counted the number of breaths you took, and I could see that you were a bit upset. You were a bit stressed. And that's how it goes, right? Our thoughts, our emotions, our physical body, they are actually reflected, mirrored in our breath. The way what we think, what we feel, we can actually spot that in our breath. If we are stressed out, we will have a stressed breathing. We will probably breathe higher up in the chest, faster, maybe the mouth is open. So when you start to pay attention to the breath, you can actually see that it is a good indicator of what's going on inside of us.
In fact, when you see people who are critically ill, what you see is very shallow panting, almost. And I want to go on by saying that I'm not suggesting that that breathing is causing their disease, but that breathing is keeping them trapped in their disease state. And I feel this very strongly. So I'm going to say something, and then I'm going to hand it to you, and you tell me if I'm exaggerating.
Yeah.
There is nothing you can do right now, sitting where you are right now, that will have a more rapid effect on your physiology than thinking about and breathing deeper and slower. Is that true?
Yeah, I mean, I'm probably a bit biased here, but yeah, I would agree to that. Although I avoid the word deep, because usually people associate the word deep with big breath. Take a deep breath and we take a big breath. And a big breath is not actually the optimum, because when we do, we take in a lot of oxygen and we exhale a lot of CO2. So we basically, when we're breathing fast and big, we upset the oxygen carbon dioxide balance. But otherwise, I would say, yes, we can basically sit here and now, here and now, and go from where we are to a state of harmonious with just improving our breathing. And we can also take us in a direction of more stress by just altering our breath to a more stressful breathing.
So on that note, I want to ask this question. So theoretically, breathing deeply, as you say, isn't the objective, right? It's having full relaxed breathing. How do you know? Where should you feel the breathing? I hear a lot of people say, well, the stomach in the United States and probably in Europe too, everyone's fascinated with washboard abs. This contributes to a rigidity in major muscles that are responsible for making you breathe. So people end up breathing higher in the chest. How do we correct that? Yeah. How do we fix that? What do we do? How should we be breathing, just to start this discussion? Then we're going to talk about CO2.
Yeah. I work with this. I call it the 7 good habits of breathing, meaning that number one is good breathing starts in the nose. Second is breathing low using your diaphragm. The third one is breathing slow. Fourth one is breathing small. Fifth one is to have an erect posture. If we have a more slumped posture, we will force the air higher up in the chest because the diaphragm can't work. And number 6 is to have a rhythmic breath. And number 7 is to have a quiet breath. And with quiet, I mean not necessarily that we should stop talking, because when we talk, we actually move air in and out of the lungs. But a lot of us tend to do different noises, like and every sound we make. Okay,
yeah. I have a mute microphone here because I do that throughout the show, and I can't do it into the microphone, so I mute myself. But yes.
Okay. Well. So that is a sign of a breath that has room for improvement. So, I mean, basically what I teach, it's not rocket science. It's basically the opposite of what a lot of people are doing. We're breathing this shallow, fast, unrhythmic breathing, maybe through the mouth. So it's basically just to do the opposite. And the idea I have is to think of, we take about 1,000 breaths an hour and try to improve step by step the number of those 1,000 breaths that you take in accordance with these 7 habits.
And how long does it take to correct your breathing once you do that? You start looking at the hour, you start monitoring how many breaths you're taking. I know there's devices that you have that do that. When someone starts this journey and says, I am going to correct my breathing because it's going to have profound benefits throughout my entire body, how long does it take to get it right?
Well, if I ask you, how long would it take to get fit? Because you do a lot of workouts,
Months.
Yeah, and it also depends on how fit you are when you start, right? Mm-hmm. If you're really fit, it won't take that long compared to if you're very unfit. So it's the same with breathing. We can have the whole range, the whole spectrum. Our breathing could be really, really bad, or it could be quite okay. So if it's quite okay, it doesn't take that long time. And also it's about the effort you put in, the curiosity you have, because as you said, it's an autonomic function. We are not supposed to pay attention to it, but modern stress forces us to do that.
Yeah. So one of the things that I learned from both you and Ron Penna, and Ron Penna is really the one who's got me to start thinking about breathing years ago, and yeah, I know that you had a big effect on him as well, was this idea that CO2 is misunderstood as far as blood gases go, right? People think that CO2 is just a waste byproduct of utilizing oxygen, and it's basically garbage that we want to get rid of, and accumulating it in the body only is indicative of not being healthy. That's not true, yeah. Is it?
No. The analogy I use is water. We know that it's good because we consist of about 70% water. So if we don't drink any water for a week, that's a big stress for a body. But if we drink 10 liters or 3 gallons in a day, that's stress. That's too much, right? So it's all about balance. So we need oxygen, but we also need carbon dioxide. So the way most of us tend to breathe is that we take in too much oxygen and exhale too much carbon dioxide. And also the carbon dioxide, which is produced in our body as in the process where oxygen and the nutrients we eat are converted into energy in the mitochondria. We then produce ATP, we produce water and heat and carbon dioxide. And when we are inactive, we produce less CO2. So if we are inactive and also overbreathe, then we really lower the CO2 levels in the body. So that is a challenge for many people in today's society. We have an inactive lifestyle and we are
rapid breathing.
And
it may not be rapid. It just may be shallow if there's not a high exchange.
It's really, really hard to spot. Still to this day, I've been doing this now for 10 years, and I have the habit of counting the number of breaths on people. And it's really, really hard to spot poor breathing even though I pay so much attention to it.
Right, because you can't estimate really. If you're looking at the rib cage moving and you're trying to estimate the volume of air exchange that's going on, and that's really hard. A lot of people hide it well. They're very, very shallow breathers, but they maybe move with their breathing. So you think they're taking a big breath. I get it. You know, I want to put this up here to set the stage. So we're going to talk about CO2, and we're going to talk about your COVID-19 mask that you're so freaked out. And I'm not you, Anders, but people are so freaked out about wearing. So my good friend Derek Trombetta, who used to be a firefighter, said this when we were all together in California. He said, having CO2 is a sign of viable life and even a way to determine when to end, stop life-saving measures. So very progressive people on the front line that are responsible for reviving people, keeping them from dying, they don't just monitor your blood ox. In fact, your CO2 levels may be more indicative of whether they're wasting their time pumping on your chest or not. Yeah. If your CO2 levels disappear, even if your oxygen levels are high, you're most likely dead.
Yes.
Now, that should shock people, because everybody thinks that when your oxygen levels are high and your CO2 levels are diminished, maybe almost non-existent, that's the ideal thing. No, you're dead. If you're not making CO2, you've stopped. Yeah. Your body has stopped processing oxygen.
Yes, very true. And actually, the way I look at it, I look at CO2 as paving the way for oxygen. It's all life forms require CO2. It's CO2 is carbon dioxide, right? We are carbon based animals, and not all life forms need oxygen, but all life forms need carbon dioxide. When life arose on the planet, there was no oxygen in the atmosphere, according to research. So it is actually carbon dioxide that controls breathing, that triggers the inhale. It's not when we feel the air hunger. It's not lack of oxygen. It's the buildup of CO2. The brain center is triggered, saying, oh, we have too much CO2 in the body. So it sends a signal to the phrenic nerve. The diaphragm goes down and we inhale. And then on the following exhale, we exhale the CO2. So we then lower the levels and then we start a new breathing cycle.
So I want to now introduce a concept that everybody knows about. And I want to talk about why it's breathing has such a profound effect. We all hear stories about heart rate variability. You should train and get your HRV, monitor your HRV. When your heart rate is doing this, then that's when you're healthy. The single thing that has the greatest effect on heart rate variability is your breathing. In fact, if you don't believe me, take a stethoscope, put it to your chest, breathe normal, listen to your heart rate. Now breathe in, hold it for a second, and breathe out. You'll hear your heart skip. It'll go ba-boom, ba-boom, ba-boom. And when you get it, breathe in, it'll go ba-boom. boom. Nothing affects heart rate variability like breathing. Now think about this. We talk about heart rate variability as the acid test for your level of fitness. Well, the thing that will have the most profound effect on your heart rate variability changing for the benefit to the good side is controlling your breathing. Is that a misstatement? Am I lying?
No, I totally agree with you. I measured HRV quite a lot myself and studied it quite a bit, and I totally agree.
Okay, and so another thing that's important to understand about CO2 is that it enables red blood cells to deliver more oxygen. This is also counterintuitive, right? Oh, we have good red blood cells and they're oxygenated and they're traveling around the body. That means tissue is getting oxygen from them. No. CO2 is the reason that they go, we need more oxygen in this tissue over here or this tissue over here. So CO2 is really important for oxygen to do its job, right?
Yeah. So when I say that the carbon dioxide paves the way for oxygen, the first is to trigger the inhale. The second is that carbon dioxide has a widening, relaxing effect on the smooth muscles surrounding the airways. So basically then we open our airways and let the oxygen in down into the lungs. And then when it's transferred to the blood in the lungs and the alveoli, where the gas exchange takes place, also, carbon dioxide has a widening, relaxing effect on the smooth muscles surrounding the blood vessels. So when we have an optimum CO2 level in the body, it's easy for the blood to flow. So it's easy for the oxygen to reach the tissue and the cells. So, and the thing you talk about, that CO2 actually helps to offload the oxygen from the hemoglobin. The hemoglobin, you can think of it as a computer. It's ones or zeros. So in the lungs, the hemoglobin have one that is a protein that have one state which attracts oxygen. So it has a high affinity for oxygen. And then when it reaches the cells and the levels of CO2 are high, the CO2 will lower the pH. And that means that the hemoglobin changes shape and releases the oxygen, and that is called the Bohr effect. So those are the four stages of why carbon dioxide actually paves the way for oxygen. So when we think about oxygenating our body, it's not only about checking on the pulse ox. That tells us how much oxygen is available in the blood.
Right.
Yeah, but not how much oxygen is actually in the tissues. But again, it's not only about CO2 lowering pH that offloads oxygen from the hemoglobin. Is also about the pressure. So that's an important factor. But for sure, CO2 is contributing.
Right. So what we've established here at this point in the show, and we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk specifically about COVID-19 masks. Yeah. But what we've established here is all of these talking heads out there that are telling you that you're COVID mask is causing a buildup of CO2 and it's hurting you and all this other stuff. This is pure nonsense. It's pure nonsense. CO2 is not a waste gas. It's not bad. It's accumulation in your body actually as you learn to tolerate it. And that's what we're going to talk about here in a minute. But as you learn to tolerate higher CO2 levels, you actually will become healthier. Healthier. So before you go, and look, I am totally opposed of the politicalization of masks today. It's like, you know, it's like the whole vegan movement. Now there's the mask movement. You know, there's all this nonsense out there. I don't want you to get caught up in that. I hate wearing a mask, to tell you the truth, because people want to make me wear a mask. But there may be a reason to embrace the mask, and it may actually be good to train with. We're going to talk about that in a minute. Look, yeah, Anders has, he was wearing it when I hooked up with him. Look, you can go to the website consciousbreathing.com, and you can learn so much about your breathing, how to correct it, how to affect it, and it will have profound effects throughout your entire physiology. There's free chapters available there. Anders has great, you know, where I learned about mouth taping, which I still do today, from Anders. Mm-hmm. He taught me about mouth taping. It improved my sleep in one night. And people were like, well, I'll just put a pillow under my chin. Or no, because you will move and you go. Pfft. Once you start breathing through your mouth, you don't sleep as deep. because you're losing the opportunity to re-inhale both carbon dioxide and nitrous oxide. So nitric oxide, not nitrous. There's so much magic in this. Go to his website. Learn from him. If you pick up one or two little tips, it will change your life profoundly. We're going to take a break. Those of you who are asking questions, I promise we will get to everybody's questions. Stay tuned. You're watching and listening to Superhuman Radio. We'll be right back. Do you remember those delicious toaster pastries you had when you were a kid? You know, the rectangular sugar-filled snacks? Well, guess what? Legendary Foods has just made low-carb toaster pastry. This is the first of its kind, and honestly, these things are amazing. They have 3 to 4 net carb, less than 1 gram of sugar, and 9 grams of protein. You can eat them right out of the wrapper or lightly toast them. The only question is, which flavor? Strawberry or brown sugar cinnamon? They're available at eatlegendary.com and Amazon. I love beef. And if you love beef, listen up. I've discovered the best tasting beef in the world, and that's not an exaggeration, at Piedmontese.com. The Piedmontese breed is famous from Italy for being lean and unbelievably tender, with half the fat and calories of traditional beef. Even typically tough cuts are tender when it comes from the Piedmontese cows. And for the first time ever, Piedmontese cows are being raised here in the USA. Get 2 free 10-ounce New York strips when you purchase $50 or more at Piedmontese.com with code SHR. Go to Piedmontese.com. And use code SHR today. You will never eat any other type of beef ever again. Select Savory Snacks Original Biltong is the healthier alternative to sugar-laden beef jerky. Their sugar-free biltong is seasoned and then air-dried for up to 2 weeks, providing you with one of the most tender and flavorful meat snacks that you've ever had. They also use a fattier cut of beef, which adds to the tenderness and gives their biltong even better flavor. Select Savory Snacks Original Biltong is the perfect snack or travel companion for your busy life. Get a free bottle of Ranch-tastic seasoning with every order, free shipping on orders of $99 or more. Get yours today at SelectSavorySnacks.com.
Hey, this is Carl. For 14 years, you've heard me talk about Can-See eye drops, and they being the reason that I do not need reading glasses at now 61 years old. But I regularly get emails and messages from people who've been using Can-See and having some amazing results. Recently, I got an email from a fellow named Chad, who because he was on dexamethasone eye drops for over 6 months, developed a cataract. Can-See eye drops actually reduced my cataract to the point where even my doctor has a hard time finding it. I will never stop using Can-See eye drops twice a day. I've been using them since 2008, he says. And you should be too. There is no better way to keep your eyes healthy and seeing clearly than Can-See eye drops. Go to wisechoicemedicine.com today and get on board, and we will both be looking into the future with very clear vision.
Everybody wants to feel better, be healthier and happier. If you don't sweat profusely on a regular basis, you won't feel as good as you could. Studies have shown the power of infrared sauna. Infrared penetrates 1 to 2 inches into the body. It helps those with back pain, fibromyalgia, arthritis, depression, and anxiety. Patients get relief from infrared sauna. The Good Health Sauna has been shown to be an exercise mimetic, conveying many of the same benefits as cardio. There are a lot of reasons people buy a Good Health Sauna, but the bottom line is you will be a much happier, healthier person by using the Good Health Sauna every day. You'll crave it, you'll love it, and it will be the best purchase you have ever made. Good Health Saunas provide commercial-grade saunas for in-home and commercial use, backed by the best lifetime warranty in the industry. Unmatched customer service and the best financing makes owning one easy and will fit any budget. Go to goodhealthsauna.com/superhumanradio to learn more and save 25% off.
Are you still on the fence about Body Protection Complex BPC Oral from drseeds.com? Listen to Maggie Kuhn, one of the owners of the C-Bus Lifting Company gym in Columbus, Ohio.
I had been having some nagging tendon issues that weren't injuries, just things that were annoying. You know, I'm 58 years old, so it's just older tendon kind of issues. For us powerlifters, you know, we really don't stop training when we have just nagging issues. We just kind of keep pushing through. And I started the BPC. What I noticed was I was doing some heavy tricep stuff that that would have killed me before when I had an elbow problem. And I was able to do this with literally no pain at all.
Go to drseeds.com, drseeds.com. Use coupon code SHR and save 20% off your bottle of BPC Body Protection Complex today.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. We're ripped and we're ready.
Welcome back. We're talking with Anders Olsen. We're talking about breathing. And I have to give a plug to somebody. There's a guy at my gym that I'm really fond of. He's a hard worker. And he is started his own apparel company. Very, very bold. You know, COVID-19 and people are having to do things they've never done before. His name is Atanga. And the URL that you see on my website, on the screen right now, will get you. It'll also be in the show notes if you go there. He has a great T-shirt. I'm wearing it today. It says, Make America Train Legs Again. I love it. And a lot of his shirts are very, very brilliant. They're very clean, and they're inexpensive. He's offering discounts if you use that bit.ly/30gymapparel. You will get there, and you can buy some shirts from him and help a young man who's trying to take advantage of opportunities and build his own empire. So there you go. So we're talking with Anders Olsen. We're talking about breathing. So let's get down to it. Let's talk about whether or not the COVID masks are actually doing – do you think COVID masks do increase CO2?
Well, I think to start with, when you put the mask on, most people can testify to that it actually affects your breathing. So there is definitely a risk that people will open their mouth because they find it hard to breathe. And if they do, they will then breathe faster and more shallow and take bigger breaths. So there is a risk that the collection of CO2 that happens in the mask and that you re-inhale, that you will exhale that again because you are breathing more because of the mask.
Well, so, and then also the restriction, right? So when you exhale, all of the air in your lungs is supposed to be able to get out easily. Any kind of restriction, if you put your hand, any kind of restriction is going to cause a pressure gradient where the CO2 that wants to get out isn't going to get out, and you're going to re-inhale it over and over again. And over time, if you re-inhale first time, it's 10%, and then only half of that gets out, you re-inhale again, now it's 40%. And so the CO2 level is actually increasing just because of the re-inhalation process.
Yeah.
Now, so we can say that CO2 is probably developing in people, it is elevating when they're wearing these masks, assuming they're wearing it over their entire face. What if they're breathing through their nose exclusively? Is it still possible to increase CO2 in the body?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I tried it a number of times. And when I use it, for example, I have this 20-minute lunch walk. Maybe I've done the walk 100 times, so I know exactly how I feel afterwards. And then I've done it with the mask as well. And what I find when I get back to the office is that I get a slight headache, which is exactly
hypercapnia. Hypercapnia. That's one of the symptoms of hypercapnia. You get a headache.
Yeah.
Right.
And that is exactly what I can get when I do what I call the carbon dioxide training. I can basically induce headache by, for example, go out for a jog or a walk or a bike ride and reduce the breath. So I count steps. For example, jogging, I take maybe 3 steps on the inhale and 6, 7, 8 on the exhale. And that means I reduce my breathing. So I reduce the outflow of CO2. So I can then induce headache. I can get that. And I can also just by then starting to breathe faster, I can the headache will diminish. It will go away.
Okay.
So I can basically just by moderate my CO2 level, I can get headache and I can get it to have it go away.
Okay. So now we've established that the masks are increasing CO2 in the lungs of the wearer. Now here is where things will get interesting. There are people who train with a breather mask that restricts your breath because it mimics what happens when you train at altitudes.
Yes.
So anybody who's a long-distance runner, cyclist, competitive, I'm talking about the most competitive, they understand that altitude training increases red blood cells, but also builds up a tolerance to CO2. So you don't feel uncomfortable, and that
added CO2 with the increase in oxygen causes greater tissue saturation of oxygen that allows them to compete better. So the thing that everybody's complaining about, I'm building up, it's just because they have such a low tolerance to CO2, but elite athletes build up that tolerance to leverage the value of added CO2 in their bodies.
Yeah.
So what are we complaining about, folks? Wear the mask and train with it.
Well, I think we complain because if you have this normal breathing, like 20 breaths per minute, that means overbreathing, meaning low tolerance for CO2 because you blow out a lot of it. So when you put the mask on, it's like actually you can enter into a state of panic because you feel like you're going to suffocate, because that's the trigger, right? Building up of too much CO2, telling the body that, hey, we're not getting enough oxygen, we're going to die. So every alarm system in the body will be on red alert if we are about to suffocate. So I think the mask can move us in that direction. So if you put the mask on, and if you have poor breathing and put the mask on and let it stay there for 3-4 hours, then you probably, it's like going to the gym for the first time.
Acclimated.
Overdo it, yeah.
But can you also alter your breathing to better leverage having the mask on? In other words, when you put the mask on, if you're sitting still and you just concentrate on breathing through the abdomen a little bit, having a good posture, and slowing the breathing down, can't you actually go, okay, I'm breathing fine, now I'll get up and walk? I mean, you know what it reminds me of? There's a phenomenon called the mammalian breath hold effect. Mm-hmm. So when your face feels water, you know what it's like. You got the shower, it hits your face. You know it can't drown you, but yet you go, you gasp a little bit. It's because our body is wired that when water is here or something is blocking our ability to breathe, the blood vessels in the brain open up, the airway opens up, everything opens up because it thinks, oh my God, we're going to get suffocated here. And that's actually called the mammalian breath hold effect. And that makes you panic, and that makes you start breathing faster. So if people would just control it when they put the mask on and realize, like, I can take this mask off anytime I want, let me just sit here and see what it feels like if I just slow my breathing down. Wouldn't that solve a lot of the problem?
I mean, this is a great thing to improve your breathing if you do it correctly. If you open your mouth, if you engage in the stressful breathing, that I think is exactly as taking a cold shower and breathing like you want to be. The reason I think why cold showers and cold baths are becoming so popular is because it actually helps you to feel a sense of control. And the way to do that, in order to withstand that shower for more than 3 seconds, I think you have to go to your breath and try to breathe rhythmically and slow and low. And I think if you can do the same in the mask, you will start to build up a sense of control and a self-confidence.
So this is a good place to inject a question. So we have a listener who follows the show, Jeff Clifton. He says, I've been doing the 4-7-8 breathing technique, but admittedly need to learn more about breath work. Where's a good starting point for learning? Obviously, your website. I'll put that back up again here in a second. Will depression and anxiety on the rise? Breath work is the fastest and cheapest work you can do for it. What do you think about that? You think about people who have suffered from great anxiety, when they learn how to control their breathing, does it have an effect on them?
My view is definitely that there is a close relationship between the breath and the levels of anxiety. So, for example, if you have a panic attack and you come to the hospital, they will give you a bag to breathe in and out through, right? And the reason why bag breathing works is because when you have this stressed panic brain, you have low levels of CO2, which then constricts your blood vessels and deprive your brain of blood and oxygen. So when you do the bag breathing, you just re-inhale some of the carbon dioxide, right? And that will then open up the blood vessels. So the stressed panic brain will get more blood and more oxygen, and it will start to calm down. So in my view, and after working with this for 10 years and read tons of studies and helped thousands of people, anxiety is one of the most beneficial effects of improving your breathing, slowing down your breath, moving it, using the diaphragm, breathing low and slow. And when he says the 4-7-8 breathing, that means actually inhale for 4, hold for 7, and exhale for 8. So if we look at that, usually when we are in a state of anxiety, we tend to have more sympathetic activity than parasympathetic. So inhale is connected to sympathetic. So when we inhale for 4 and hold for 4, we're actually, that is both on the inhale side. So we're actually activating the body. So if I'm exaggerating, that is the distress response, the fast inhale. So what we see when we inhale is that the heart rate goes up, the sympathetic is activated, and the muscle are activated, while on the exhale, we do the opposite. Like we can hear in the expression, oh, the stress is over, and finally we can relax and we sigh in relief. So relaxation is tied to exhale. So if we want to do a more relaxation, I would not necessarily do an exercise where you inhale for 4 and hold for 7. I would more do prolonged exhalation. And we don't have to do like we inhale for 2 or 3 and then prolong for 8 or 10 or 15. We're just talking about the slight prolonged exhalation, maybe 5 or 6. So 3 in, 6 out could be a good thing. And also the other thing you get with this is that you get a more natural rhythm. So whatever a breathing, I mean, there are tons of breathing exercises out there, and a lot of them actually has an emphasis on holding your breath. And I think actually that is a big problem in today's society. That's a modern disease. When we concentrate, when we focus, we hold our breath. So why should we do breathing exercises when we hold our breath? I don't think that makes sense. I think more the rhythmic breath, where we slightly prolong our exhalation if we want to get more into the parasympathetic state where we are more relaxed, is the way to go over holding our breath.
So what I learned several years ago, before I actually came to the event where I met you and we talked about breathing in general, breathing has helped me a lot. There were periods in my life where I became very stressed and anxiety was coming on. And just by focusing on my breathing, I brought myself back to normal. And it's not easy. It takes focus. However, one time I was watching a TV show like National Geographic, and they were studying great apes, the silverback gorillas. And there was this silverback gorilla sitting against the tree, and it was just observing. They were so far away, I guess, with the camera, he wasn't in their view, and he thought he was all alone. And I watched the way he breathed. Because you could hear the way they breathe, because they breathe, they move so much air through that nasal passage. You can hear it. Mm-hmm. And what I noticed he was doing was he breathed in, breathe out, and he didn't breathe right back in again. Then he breathed in.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Breathe, and it made me think about my own breathing, and I thought, you know, when you and this is how I figured out the HRV link. So I started experimenting with my breathing. I have a stethoscope at home that I use to check my blood pressure. And I put it by my heart, and I got quiet, and I sat there, and I took in a normal breath, nothing exaggerated, and I exhaled through my nose. But then I paused until I felt like I needed to take another breath. See, because we don't do that anymore. We just breathe in and out, in and out, in and out. We think, oh, that breath is gone. Yeah. We need to get another one. And I started doing that, and I listened to my heart rate go ba-boom, 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 ba-boom,
right.
Ba-boom,
yes.
Ba-boom. I was like, holy crap. And then I started breathing rapid, and boom, my heart rate went right back up, ba-boom, ba-boom, ba-boom. And I thought, so the heart rate variability is all a function of breathing.
Yeah.
But just pausing after try this. If those of you who can't work with this, take a normal breath. exhale, but don't breathe in right away. Just kind of give yourself a second or two. Don't make yourself uncomfortable. And by doing this, you will accumulate more CO2, but you'll do it in a fashion where you don't feel very uncomfortable. And then slowly make that pause a little bit longer. That's kind of like what Buteyko teaches, right?
Yeah. And it's similar to using this device, which I developed, the Relaxator, which gives you adjustable resistance, and it prolongs your exhalation.
I love this. You can get it at his website, consciousbreathing.com. Not only can you get mouth taping, the tape to tape your mouth, but this device right here is amazing. Wear it, put it in your mouth when you're in your car, and especially if you're stuck in traffic and you normally get like agitated easily. And just follow the instructions. Just breathe in and breathe out through it. And it has an adjustable pressure gradient so that you have a little bit of back pressure. You resist your exhale a little bit. And by doing that, you just gather just a little bit more CO2 than you normally would. But it also slows your breathing down, and all of a sudden you feel relaxed. And appropriately, you call it the Relaxator, right?
Yes.
It's brilliant.
But the key is, again, I mean, the it's not like doing a workout for your biceps. The lung tissue, they are fine-tuned. They are very delicate tissue. So a lot of people, they tend to overdo it, including myself. When I started my breathing journey, I thought it was all about pushing myself, performance. But the key to good breathing is relaxation, and that usually don't go hand in hand with pushing yourself. So a lot of people, they may then extend the exhalation too much. They have too much of a pause after the exhale, or they do this relaxator too much, or they wear the mask for too long. And what they will find afterwards is then that they are gasping for air, that they are sighing, or they are yawning, or they are just needing to take big breaths. And that is because the CO2 have increased too fast, so the brain center is not able to be reset at that pace, which in my view is similar to going to the gym and just overdo it. You, if you have never been there, you have to start slowly, step by step, otherwise you will just wake up with sore muscles and maybe not set your foot there again. So a key is really to not try and overdo it.
Oh, and we do that. Humans. We're humans. Yeah. We overdo everything. Yeah. We think if some is good, more is bad. So look, the website is consciousbreathing.com. We're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to start talking about how to leverage is it possible to leverage the COVID mask? Should we wear it for short periods of time? How should we use it? How can we use the mask to get the same effect as mimicking altitude training? Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Planet Earth CBD offers a fast-acting transdermal patch that targets your aches and pains for the relief you need. Not only is the patch uniquely patented, but it is widely believed to provide larger quantities of available cannabinoids to the source of pain than other brands' subpar products. Effective for 24 to 48 hours, experience the benefits of Planet Earth's high-quality transdermal patch. Manufactured by next-generation technology in an FDA-registered facility, this pressure-sensitive adhesive delivers rich hemp extract directly through the skin. Be it a neck ache or a headache, you can count on CBD to take off the edge. Go to planetearthcbd.com today to learn more.
If there is one mineral you should be worried about not getting enough of, it's magnesium. Magnesium is the body's master mineral, powering over 300 critical reactions, including detoxification, fat metabolism, energy, and even digestion is influenced by the presence of magnesium. That's why I'm so excited to tell you about a new magnesium product I've been taking now called Magnesium Breakthrough. It's the ultimate magnesium supplement. Easily the best I've ever seen or experienced. With all seven forms of magnesium, I was able to arrange an amazing deal for my audience, and I guarantee it's the best deal available on this product. Seriously, with volume discounts combined with our custom 10% coupon code SHR10, you can save up to 40% off select packages of Magnesium Breakthrough. And I promise that this deal is only available on this specific website, magbreakthrough.com/SHR. You won't find that deal on Amazon or even on the company company's own website. Go to magbreakthrough.com/SHR and use code SHR10 to save up to 40% off select packages of Magnesium Breakthrough.
New Mass Pro Synthogen X2 just upped its own legendary game. To distance itself even further from the rest of the pack, Synthogen X2 now has double the key active ingredients. If you've ever wondered what steroid-like recovery feels like, Synthogen X2 delivers. See why others compare it favorably to powerful bodybuilding drugs at Synthogen.com. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
Quest Nutrition makes bars, cookies, chips, and pizzas out of complete dairy-based proteins. Our products minimize net carbs and sugar without sacrificing taste. Each delicious chocolate-flavored chip, cookie chunk, and crunchy crumble is custom-made to maintain Quest macros. It's time to enjoy foods that work for you, not against you. It's time to enjoy your Quest.
There's no denying that a low-carb, low-sugar keto lifestyle has been shown to reverse chronic inflammation and normalize insulin sensitivity. But we all want a sweet snack from time to time. Well, no matter what you're looking for, you'll find it at Perfect Keto. Bars, cookies, exogenous ketones, keto-friendly performance enhancers, it's all in one place. I love their chocolate quad ketone salts that balance all four minerals. And try their keto bars for unique taste satisfaction, all the while knowing you're staying in your keto lifestyle lane. Go to perfectketo.com/superhuman to save 20% off your purchase today.
You've heard me talk about the chill pill on the show and how effective it is at helping people who suffer from social anxiety or sometimes when you just want to take the edge off to a long, stressful day. Well, listen to this story from Dylan Goutreau.
Definitely takes anxiety away, which I have a long history of. Having started out at 2 milligrams a day of Xanax, that was at 8 years old, and so I stopped using benzos 3 years ago. Extremely difficult. Yeah, so I spent about 3 years trying to find anything and everything I could that would be healthy for me to help with anxiety, because I'm talking, you know, full bull out panic attack. The chill pill was the first thing that I've found that actually in the middle of a panic attack I can take, and it definitely subsides.
Go to drseeds.com. That's drseeds.com. Use coupon code SHR and save 20% off your first bottle of the chill pill. Check it out. I promise this is one supplement that delivers.
This is the Superhuman Channel. Evolution just got kicked up a notch.
Welcome back. So just for fun, I went on the internet and I Googled altitude training masks. They range anywhere from a low of $70 to a high of $145. And all they're doing is restricting your breathing, restricting what you can inhale and exhale. So basically, they're modifying what's known as the RCT that triggers the ability to go beyond your limits by causing a buildup of CO2. And everybody out there is complaining, oh, I got CO2 buildup from my mask. No, that's not the problem. The problem is that you're just not you can't tolerate it because you don't breathe right to begin with.
Right. Yes.
Amazing. Amazing. So how could the masks be used? Obviously, you're not a proponent of wearing the mask all the time, right?
No, I mean, I don't use them here where I live in Sweden. There are very few people actually using the mask at all. So now I think the mask, if we just look at the phenomenon where we are supposed to wear the mask in many different settings, is I think that's a fear-based short-term reaction that probably, I mean, how long should we wear the mask, forever, or what happens next year if there comes a new virus? Is it mask on? I don't think that that's the solution to the problems we are facing.
No, but one thing I think we could say for sure, if the mask causes you to get dizzy and headaches and all this other stuff, it's because you are not breathing right to begin with. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah, to some extent. I mean, it also depends on what you engage in, right? If you have a stressful job, for example, working in a hospital and you have the mask on,
Yeah, because if you realize that, wow, I can't wear this mask very long, then you need to start working on learning to tolerate wearing the mask, that will actually improve your breathing when you're not wearing the mask. If you start to focus on, like, if you go to the website consciousbreathing.com, you start using some of the tips on there for just normal breathing, you'll probably find out, oh, this mask doesn't bother me all of a sudden. Because when you start breathing right, small to moderate rises in CO2 don't make you feel uncomfortable, like, oh my God, I'm panicking, I'm going to pass out. Your body is supposed to be able to tolerate that. You know, we've talked about how modernity has caused people not to be metabolically flexible because they eat anytime they want, every 2 hours. And then as soon as they have to fast, they get the shakes, they get the headache. I can't, I got to eat, I'm going to fall down. I have friends that literally are like this. Like, I can fast for 24 hours. If it just turns out that I can't really do what I want to do. I have a button flashing here. I'm trying to figure out. I have friends that can't tolerate a fast at all of any kind. Yeah. They literally say, well, if I don't eat every 2 hours, I start getting the shakes. That is because you have been eating inappropriately for decades. Well, if you put a mask on and you literally feel like you're going to pass out in a couple minutes, you have been breathing wrong for decades.
Yeah, you can say that. It's actually quite similar, right? We have a tendency in today's society, there is food everywhere, so we overeat, and then we need to do the intermittent fasting or whatever to reduce the eating. And it's basically the same here. We reduce the oxygenation, we reduce the intake of oxygen because we tend to overbreathe. We tend to have too high levels of carbon dioxide in our body.
I think the
high levels of oxygen.
I'm sorry. I think the real problem with masks is the mask lays on your face. You know, if it was a nice cup where it was like when I look at these breathing masks that they sell for to mimic altitude training, which you're basically doing if you're restricting airflow, they are nice and round and rigid. So they don't collapse with every breath. They don't collapse in your face with every breath. I think that's the real problem for some people with the mask. I think it's just annoying to have it literally suck to your face every time you inhale. But no one should be freaking out about wearing these masks and having moderate amounts of CO2 buildup unless you are really unhealthy and you just have been breathing right for decades and you're a shallow breather to begin with. Yeah, you're going to feel horrible then. Absolutely.
For example, if you have COPD, right, where you have destroyed lung tissue, you tend to have higher levels of CO2. The lung tissue, the alveoli may be destroyed. They are chronically inflamed and destroyed, and you can't get the CO2 out of your body.
What about Wim Hof, the Wim Hof method, Jeff Clifton asks? That's a hyperventilation model, is it not?
It is, yeah. So I mean, I'm not opposed to any method. There are tons of, as I said before, tons of different breathing exercises. I've written an article on the website, Wim Hof versus Conscious Breathing, where I discuss the ins and outs. And if we just look at the fact how much CO2 and how much oxygen is stored in the body, we have about 120 liters of CO2 stored in the body. And you may ask, how can we have 120 liters? But it's a gas. So, for example, a SodaStream can has 360 liters, I think. So we do have about 120 liters in our body. But the amount of oxygen, we only have 1.6 liters. So 75% more CO2. And if we really take a step back, I mean, we live from one breath to the next. We have excess of water and proteins and fat and glucose. But the most important nutrient, oxygen, we only have enough to go by about 5, 6, 7 minutes. And why is that? That doesn't make sense, does it? Unless oxygen has some negative properties, and it does. It's both a curse and a blessing. If we stop breathing, we die. But too much will create free radicals. Like we talk about the mitochondria as the fireplace, the furnace in our body. And if you have a fire burning and you put oxygen on it, it will basically explode because oxygen is so extremely reactive. So the only reason why we store only 1.6 liters in our body is because oxygen is so reactive. So we can't afford, we don't want more of that gas. It will become toxic then. So when we do exercises, when we overbreathe, when we hyperventilate, we will then lower the CO2 and we will increase the oxygen, which may then give rise to inflammations. But what also happens is that when we lower CO2, we will increase adrenaline. So we will get an adrenaline rush. We will feel good. So one study, for example, they did a bunch of medical students. They were hyperventilating on two occasions. First, they inhaled normal air. And on the second occasion, they inhaled air spiked with 5% carbon dioxide, which is called carbogen. And then they measured carbon dioxide levels in the blood and they measured adrenaline. So when they hyperventilated normal air, the carbon dioxide levels were 50% lower and the adrenaline increased by 360%. And when they hyperventilated with the air spike with CO2, the CO2 levels in the blood was almost unchanged. And the adrenaline was also almost, it was unchanged, telling us that when we lower CO2, we increase adrenaline. So a lot of us, we are adrenaline junkies. We love the adrenaline rush. And that is the reason probably why we engage in different exercises where we overbreathe. And I'm not saying it's not good for you necessarily. Here and now, a lot of people can feel the benefits. For example, talking about fasting, I did a 3-day fasting a few years ago. And at the end of the 3 days, I was really longing to eat, but I decided, okay, I will finish off with the Wim Hof exercise, 20 minutes, breathing forcefully. And I got so much energy, so I decided to do another day of fasting, which was a big surprise. But we have to look, I think, the short-term effect. A lot of people, they feel more alive and kicking when they do Wim Hof breathing. But how is it in the long-term effect? And I'm not so certain that the long-term effect are optimum.
Well, I want to take our last commercial break. And when we come back, I want to talk about two things. I just got a text message from a fellow who is watching, but he wants to remain anonymous. And he has an interesting problem that now that he's listening to you, he's thinking maybe breathing could help him, number one. Okay. Number two, I want to ask you about AHI. What does it tell us when we feel like we have to go every so often? Does it mean we're breathing too shallow? Is it an indicator of anything? Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
Unlock your potential with the best cognitive enhancement and anti-aging supplements on the market. PureNootropics.net goes the extra mile for the highest quality ingredients, third-party tested to make sure you only receive the best your money can buy. There's no better choice with their money-back guarantee and free shipping. Try their best-selling DHM. Dihydromyrcetin prevents hangovers and helps the liver detox after a night of drinking. Get your DHM and other nootropics and longevity supplements from PureNootropics.net, the purest supplement. Supplements around.
I love beef. And if you love beef, listen up. I've discovered the best tasting beef in the world, and that's not an exaggeration, at Piedmontese.com. The Piedmontese breed is famous from Italy for being lean and unbelievably tender with half the fat and calories of traditional beef. Even typically tough cuts are tender when it comes from the Piedmontese cows. And for the first time ever, Piedmontese cows are being raised here in the USA. Get 2 free 10-ounce New York strips when you purchase $50 or more at Piedmontese.com with code SHR. Go to Piedmontese.com. And use code SHR today. You will never eat any other type of beef ever again.
Select Savory Snacks Original Biltong is the healthier alternative to sugar-laden beef jerky. Their sugar-free biltong is seasoned and then air-dried for up to 2 weeks, providing you with one of the most tender and flavorful meat snacks that you've ever had. They also use a fattier cut of beef, which adds to the tenderness and gives their biltong even better flavor. Select Savory Snacks Original Biltong is the perfect snack or travel companion for your busy life. Get a free bottle of Ranch-tastic seasoning with every order, free shipping on orders of $99 or more. Get yours today at SelectSavorySnacks.com. CanSeeEyeDrops.com/SHR.
Hey, this is Carl. For 14 years, you've heard me talk about CanSee Eye Drops, and they being the reason that I do not need reading glasses at now 61 years old. But I regularly get emails and messages from people who've been using CanSee and having some amazing results. Recently, I got an email from a fellow named Chad, who because he was on dexamethasone eye drops for over 6 months, developed a cataract. CanSee Eye Drops actually reduced my cataract to the point where even my doctor has a hard time finding it. I will never stop using CanSee Eye Drops twice a day. I've been using them since 2008, he says. And you should be too. There is no better way to keep your eyes healthy and seeing clearly than CanSee Eye Drops. Go to wisechoicemedicine.com today and get on board, and we will both be looking into the future with very clear vision.
Everybody wants to feel better, be healthier, and happier. If you don't sweat profusely on a regular basis, you won't feel as good as you could. Studies have shown the power of infrared sauna. Infrared penetrates 1 to 2 inches into the body. It helps those with back pain, fibromyalgia, arthritis, depression, and anxiety. Patients get relief from infrared sauna. The Good Health Sauna has been shown to be an exercise mimetic, conveying many of the same benefits as cardio. There are a lot of reasons people buy a Good Health Sauna, but the bottom line is you will be a much happier, healthier person by using the Good Health Sauna every day. You'll crave it, you'll love it, and it will be the best purchase you have ever made. Good Health Saunas provide commercial-grade saunas for in-home and commercial use, backed by the best lifetime warranty in the industry. Unmatched customer service and the best financing makes owning one easy and will fit any budget. Go to goodhealthsauna.com/superhumanradio to learn more and save 25% off.
Whether your goal is to build muscle or burn fat, you'll find everything you need at Redcon One. Need help getting a good night's sleep? Try Fade Out, or the most popular pre-workout supplement on the market today, Total War. Sign up for their new Transformation Challenge and win $10,000, or shop for apparel that people at the gym will know that you are serious about your training. Need a testosterone booster that works? Check out Boomstick. Whatever you need, you'll find the best quality supplements on the market at Redcon One. Go to redcon1.com. That's R-E-D-C-O-N, the number one.com, or go to superhumanradio.net and click the Redcon One banner ad today.
This is the Superhuman Channel, doing reps with the weight of the world.
Welcome back. What does AHI tell us? There's that momentary urge to take a big, prolonged breath. Does it mean that we haven't been breathing properly? Does it mean that our tolerance to CO2 isn't adequate? What is it? Does it mean anything?
To me, it's a sign of poor breathing. I tend to think that most of us, we switch between either we overbreathe and the next second we hold our breath. So we switch between those. And when we breathe too little, we have to take these big breaths. We sigh, we yawn, we just take a big breath. So it's a very rhythmic way of breathing. And the brain, I mean, the brain always like to be 1, 2, 3, 4 steps ahead, trying to predict the future, what's going to happen. And one of the major thing the brain need is a steady supply of oxygen. So when it doesn't get that, which it doesn't when we overbreathe, or when we hold our breath, when we switch between those two, or when we have these big breaths, the brain will get stressed.
Okay, a guy who's watching, not using his name, he asked me not to. He says, whether I'm lifting or jogging makes no difference. Anytime I'm stressed or short breath, it goes into effect. His heart rate picks up. He becomes lightheaded. It's like syncope. Even when I'm not short of breath, it can, but exhausting breath is a certainty. So he's breathing rapidly, right?
Right.
Low reps, high reps, no different. I can get them from 7 to 8 reps of slow body weight, only squats, or sets of 350 by 5. So he's telling me what he's lifting. when this first hit me, I was striking a tire with a sledgehammer. But I remembered I was holding my breath every impact that it made. Maybe that triggered this. It sounds to me, so he has a problem. If he exerts himself, his heart rate picks up, he panics. It's really like a panic attack. He feels short of breath, his heart rate picks up, then he gets lightheaded. From what we're talking about today, it sounds like his breathing is triggering this. Could it be?
Yeah, it could be. I mean, I've been doing this for now for 10 years, and I have only met one person, for example, when I'm out jogging, that have been jogging with the mouth closed. So everyone, they look, they, mouth wide open, eyes about to pop out, sort of, they look really stressed out, actually. So my motto is, don't go faster than your nose will allow you. So I recommend everyone to do their physical activity with nasal breathing. And of course, you have to adjust. So you probably would need to lower the intensity. But and a lot of people think, no, I'm not able to do this at any high intensity. But it's mainly a mindset, actually. So if you consider yourself as a beginner and you take it slowly, step by step, before you know it, usually within a few weeks, you will be able actually to perform at the same level. So I've done a couple of studies with CrossFit athletes. And when one study I did a few years ago, one of the participants, he was very fit. He used to be Swedish record holder in triathlon, Ironman distance, 8 hours, 15 minutes. So the study was, they were biking with all their might in two occasions. And we measured, one of the things we measured were their pulse. So the first occasion, the nose was taped, so he can only breathe to his mouth. And his pulse was 155. And the mouth breathing, that's the normal way of breathing for him. And then the next occasion, on the same bike load, and this time with the mouth tape, so he could only breathe to his nose. His pulse went down from 155 to 139. And for such a fit guy, that's really
huge.
That's 10%, yeah.
That's huge. I want to post this up, and then we're going to end the show right in a moment. So, Lise Winfield Bunnerup says, watch the capnometer and note that CO2 does not increase if wearing a face mask. This is not true, and I'm going to tell you why. I mean, maybe you've seen this, but it's such a broad statement. There's an entire industry out there that makes masks to resist breathing in and out that are designed specifically to cause the elevation of CO2. So this is a very broad statement. When people make broad statements like this, what mask and who's wearing it? And, you know, I get what you're saying, that maybe most people aren't really seeing the CO2 elevation that they think they are. But this is too broad of a statement to take seriously. I'm sorry. Like I said, there's a whole industry that sells masks just because it builds up CO2.
Yeah, but maybe this mask is not the same as
those, of course, of course,
training masks.
Of course. But I will say this, that people may wear that mask, and because of mammalian breath hole response and face obstruction, they may start breathing shallow. And while you may be right, the mask isn't keeping CO2 from exiting, but their new adapted shallow breathing, because they're all freaked out that they have this mask on, is actually causing them to build up CO2 that they would have if they would have put a piece of tissue paper over their face. So this is too broad of a statement. I appreciate your sentiment, but I can prove you that it's wrong. If I had a capnometer, I could find three people whose CO2 would go up once I put a mask on their face because of the way they change their breathing. So, but anyway.
I will just, in my experience, I mean, I'm the curious guy. I always want to test different things. And using this mask now for a few weeks, really trying to understand, I definitely noticed that it does affect my breathing, that I feel similar effect as when I do carbon dioxide training, when I go out to do physical activity and reduce my breathing.
And we breathed carbogen when we were at the meeting. It was amazing. Yeah. It made my whole body warm. I actually felt like my hearing, my audible acuity increased. I was able to hear clearer. I could feel I almost felt like I could feel something running through me, like an energy. And I'll never forget that. And you would think that, breathing a high amount of CO2, that's dangerous. I felt fantastic. I felt better breathing the carbogen than I did just breathing the room air. That was amazing. Yeah.
So, yeah, in my view, carbon dioxide is our natural tranquilizer. The difference between a person sitting meditating in deep relaxation and harmony compared to the person in a state of panic, It's not whether they have slept well or eat well or if they're in love or have lost their job. The major difference between those two states is their breathing. It's carbon dioxide. The person in panic attack have low levels of CO2, and the person meditating, relaxed, harmonious, have a slow and low breathing and high levels of CO2.
And we see all this playing out in Buteyko breathing techniques. I know a lot of people who use Buteyko, they believe in it. And they'll tell you they used to have anxiety attacks. They couldn't train as hard, and everything changes just from consciously altering the way they breathe. The website is consciousbreathing.com. You can go there, get free chapters. There's lots of gadgets and things you can use to improve the quality of your breathing. Check it out. See, I had to clear my throat. That's my problem. I have allergies. They're crazy right now. So check it out. It's worth learning about. I'm telling you, nothing will have a more profound effect on your heart rate variability than learning to breathe better. And that's where you go, consciousbreathing.com, to learn. Anders, thank you so much for being on the show with us. I know, what time is it there in Sweden?
It's 8 in the evening.
So, okay. Well, thank you for staying around and doing the show today. Thank you.
Thank you for having me, Carl.
And we'll see everybody Monday with more Superhuman Radio. Don't forget, please share the show. Help somebody out. Share the show. We'll see you Monday. Thank you.